Hi guys, and welcome back to Topic Tuesday, episode 19. If you've been able to watch any of the previous episodes, then thank you so much for your support. It's so much appreciated. I'm actually really excited today because this is my first, well, I'm excited for many reasons. First of all, for our guest, and second of all, because this video is actually sponsored by HelloFresh. If you follow me on Instagram, you will know how passionate I am about HelloFresh. Before I started working with them, I was a customer for like 2 years. Absolutely changed my life, helps me bring so much like structure when it comes to dinner time, especially if I'm cooking in the kitchen. I get it done within 20 minutes. It's all the ingredients are there, laid out. I don't have any waste. I get to get fresh veggies in. It's healthy, nutritious. And also, I learned so much. Like, if it wasn't for HelloFresh, I would no way be cooking with the ingredients that they give me. Some of the meals are literally like blow you away. And I'm so excited that they're sponsoring this video. So what I'll do is I'll pop the QR code right here so you can go and shop. So with the code LMF2024, you'll get 60% off your first box, which is a huge saving. And we all love a saving. And then you'll get 20% off for the next 2 months. Plus free gifts, and the free gifts are like girl math, because honestly, your box turns up and you've got all these free goodies and it makes your soul feel very, very happy, because some of them are so, like, they're naughty, but they're so delicious. So yeah, go check it out. If you do have any questions regarding like HelloFresh and how it works, please message me. I've been using them for coming up to like 4 years now, so I know all about them. Enjoy. So today we are joined by my beautiful friend, Charlotte Lescott. Do you want to introduce yourself briefly?
So I'm Charlotte. I've got a beautiful daughter, Soli, who's my pride and joy. And yeah, I think I'm a bit about me. I'm just navigating my grief journey after losing my partner. So 3 years in now. And yes, that's pretty much my journey's navigating that. So
love that. So today we're here to talk all about kind of like grief around losing a partner and what that journey looks like, and also that whole kind of like navigating bereavement, as you say.
Yeah.
And also the importance of insurance. I think that is what we're here to talk about the most, because without telling your story, I will ask you to tell that, if that's okay. Unfortunately, very sadly and tragically, Charlotte lost her partner due to a tragic jet ski accident whilst they were living abroad. And I think we're going to talk all about that. We'll talk about it from every angle. Mm-hmm. I think Charlotte has got a lot of perspective to give. I think you've learned so much, haven't you?
Yeah.
Kind of like navigating this journey. I will never forget the moment you text me, you know, when it happened.
Yeah. It's mad, isn't it?
I literally was just like, you text me like pretty soon after it happened, didn't you?
I don't even remember. Do you know what? Like, all that whole period now, it's kind of like a blur to me.
Sure. So it's like...
It's weird because it's like some parts I can remember vividly, mm-hmm. and then other parts, like, people will say to me, oh my gosh, like, do you remember this? And I'm like, no. It's such a blur now.
So... take us to the moment, if you're okay to.
Yeah.
And describe the day, tell us what happened, and yeah.
Yeah, so I'll take it back to, obviously, Soli was born back in the UK, COVID times. So Ali, my partner, was said to me, let's go and try Dubai, just so that we could have like a bit of a quality of life, because we'd been stuck in the COVID lockdown. So it was a bit like... we'd had no family time, really, because everything was just indoors. So I said, yeah, do you know what? Why not? Whilst I'm on maternity and not working, let's just go and check it out. And everyone was kind of going to Dubai at that point, because it was, there was a bit more freedom there. Yeah. So, yeah, we went there and I loved it. The quality of life was just amazing. Mm. I didn't think I'd like it. I just wanted to be at home. Like, when you've had a baby, you just kind of just want to soak it all in. Mm-hmm. So we went out to Dubai. It was lovely. We get to wake up, go to the pool, go to the beach. We were just able to do like normal things and it was nice. And I said to Ali, I really like this. I remember we were just going to bed every night and I was like, let's just say how thankful we are for our life, like thankful for Soli, our beautiful daughter. And I always remember this. We'd always pray for her health, mm-hmm. and we never prayed for ours. I'd always say, Ali, pray for her health now. Like, she's so anxious when you get a little newborn. You're like praying for them. So anyway, fast forward, we were out there, say, 2 months, 2.5 months. Soli was 4.5 months at the time. So we'd moved pretty soon after we'd gone to Dubai. So it was out there 2.5 months. And
which, by the way, like, in itself, like, the fact you got up and moved country whilst navigating postpartum that soon, like, that's such a big thing.
Huge.
Like, and I never realised, obviously, until I had Ziggy, and you know what it is. Like, how, like, that's that's a lot on your plate, isn't
it? A lot. And I think, because Ali was really struggling with the lockdown. I didn't struggle, but he did, because he's more of a social person. He had high energy. He was, he needed to socialise. Yeah. So he was very down, like, he just wanted to be, he wanted to be doing stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of pressure because I didn't want to go and he did. Mm-hmm. And also I wanted to be around my family. Mm-hmm. So that was hard. So that was a big thing. And I think looking back, I was struggling postnatally as well. Like, first baby, you don't really know what you're doing. And you're just,
you've done an amazing
job. You just kind of, like, moving different countries is like a big thing.
In itself, without the baby.
So that was
it.
Yeah. But I did enjoy it. I enjoyed it once I was out there. But I struggled to do things because I was just nervous. You know, it's a new country and I didn't want to drive. So I was quite reliant on Ali to get me to places. And we hadn't really done too much as a family because he was working and things like that. So, we decided that we were going to do this boat day organised by my friend. So, yeah, we went on this boat. And we were just both, I just remember just, it was just meant to be a family day out. And that's what's so crazy is, like, we woke up that morning and it was just supposed to be a normal family day out, going on a boat. You wouldn't think anything of it, even though I was anxious because Soli was so young. So I remember I kept saying to Ali, like, oh my God, we're taking her out on a boat. Oh, like, I was just panicking. Like, have we got things? What do we need to take? I was just panicking about the day, but only because of Soli. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we just got on this boat and Ali was excited about doing the jet skis. He kept saying, like, I'm just going to go on the jet ski when I'm on the boat. That was what he kept talking about. He's a bit of, like, you know, he loves all that fun stuff. And, yeah, so we were on the boat. It was the best day. Like, the start of that day and the start of the boat, I just remember it was just lovely. Like, it was lovely. And then the last words that I said to Ali was, just be safe, love you. And that was it. That was the last words I'd ever said to him.
Hmm.
And so, yeah, he got on this jet ski and he collided with the instructor. And it was literally death on impact. There was nothing. There was no going to hospital. There was nothing. It was literally collision, death. And
like, I know the story, but every time you, I know the story so well, but every time you say it, I'm speechless every single time. Like, I just sit here and it's just like.
And the thing is, I was holding Soli on the boat and I was just watching him out there. And I was thinking to myself, he's been out there now a while, he'll be coming back. And I remember seeing him coming back, driving towards the boat. And I thought, right, he's coming back now. Like, I was just a bit anxious, don't like jet skis. I didn't go on it. And, he was coming back to the boat when he collided. So I knew it was Ali. In my head, I knew it was Ali. When the collision happened, and I turned to my friend and I says, who was that on the jet ski that's collided? Like, my brain still was not registering. Even though I knew what colour life jacket he was wearing, and I knew it was Ali that collided, my brain wasn't telling myself because I saw how bad it was. I witnessed.
Were you, like, in denial a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was traumatising. What I had to witness, what I saw with my eyes, was absolutely traumatising. And I just, my whole body was like, that isn't Ali, it'll be somebody else. It's my brain's playing tricks on me. That wasn't Ali. I was still trying to find a way out that it wasn't him.
Yeah.
And there was like an hour that went by and people were just telling me, you know, go inside. And then my best friend came up to me and she went, Shah, sit down. At that point, I just knew. I knew at that point. And she said, sit down. I just was just like, no, this isn't happening.
I just can't.
Yeah.
Oh, so we know this story. We've spoken about it so much.
I haven't spoken about it for ages.
Every time, like, I just think, like, it's so tragic. Like, you would just never think that would happen.
It is literally that. You wake up one morning and then it's all gone. Like, it's so, it's just so, it, you can't even comprehend such a thing happening because you just take life for granted. Like, everyone does it. You wake up and you just think that every day is promised when it's not. And when people say, like, one day you're here, the next day you're not, like, you just think, oh, that's another saying, but that is my reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I always think this to myself, and this is just going into the accident. Why in the accident were the other two people on the jet ski, like, untouched, and he was, and he died? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I cannot fathom it. Mm. It blows my mind that the collision happened with another jet ski and the instructor on the jet ski, and there was another passenger.
Mm.
And obviously they were traumatized mentally, but physically they were untouched.
Mm.
Does it not, like, why does that blows my mind?
Yeah, just,
but the freak other person, accident, isn't it? Freak
just,
accident.
Just complete freak accident. Just, yeah, complete freak. And the thing is, I watched it happen, so I know it was complete freak. Oh. Yeah?
Do you remember the sight of it?
Yeah.
So that's not going to leave.
That vision will never leave me. Yeah, and that haunts me. Yeah.
So you got told the news that he'd passed.
Yeah.
Can you talk to us about what happened next with regards to, like...
Yeah. I think, so on that night, obviously that would be a criminal case then because of it being a collision. So okay. Everybody else had to go to the police station. I physically couldn't. I said I just physically can't go anywhere right now. Like, I need to just be with holding my baby. I can't be thinking about doing police statements and all that. So I went back home and I went to sleep. I had to go to bed that night. I had to go to bed in a foreign country with none of my family here, just me and my baby. And Ali always said to me, come out to Dubai, like, I'm going to be looking after you. You're going to be fine. So that kept playing through my head, like, you're not looking after me. I'm on my own in a foreign country.
Mm.
I don't know what I'm doing. I've got no family. And all my friends were at the police station. So I had nobody. And I went to bed that night with me and my baby in the bed in a foreign country, having a clue what's going to happen next. So, I just remember that night, like, trying to put Soli to sleep and just being in complete shell shock.
Yeah.
Yeah, just traumatised.
Did you feel emotional? Was it complete shock and numb? Or were you, like...
Just numb.
Yeah.
Just absolutely numb.
Something like that, like...
Yeah.
I feel like you wouldn't feel, really, until you're... over the shock and the initial
I think the whole year, because I'm 3 years in now,
years have gone so fast but so slow.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think that's what, like, the only way to explain it is that my world completely stopped at that point. My world stopped. So even though the world was going and time's going, 3 years has gone now, my world wasn't continuing because nothing felt like I could carry on. I didn't see a way out at that point. I didn't see that I would carry on with life.
Okay.
So for the whole first year, I was just still in trauma and I still believed he was coming back for the whole first year. I kept saying it wasn't going to be him on the accident. They're going to tell me, oh, it wasn't Ali. That's what I kept telling myself because I still couldn't believe it. I still couldn't believe that it was him on the jet ski. And then I had to view him. I remember I had to go and see him. And even then I thought, when I see him, then it will register. And even then when I saw him, when they pulled the cloth back,
This was in Dubai.
And I saw him, pulled the cloth back, and I still said to myself, that was not him, or, you know, that was a dream, or someone's playing tricks with me. That's what I kept saying. And for a year, I didn't believe it. For a whole year. I still didn't accept it.
I guess it's your body and mind's way of trying to...
Yeah. To survive.
Yeah, yeah. Complete survival.
Yeah. And that's how I feel like my whole... The first year was just survival mode.
Yeah.
It was just doing whatever I needed to do just to wake up and get by and do each day. But I will say, obviously, the fact that I had Soli, I was forced to do it. Because if I didn't have Soli, I don't think I would have got up and I don't think I would have done half the things that I did. But because I had a newborn baby to look after, there was no choice. I had to get up. So thank goodness I got that precious gift because she forced me. I had to get up. I had to feed. I was breastfeeding, so I couldn't not feed her. And so she got me through it. If I didn't have her, I just think, I don't know where I would be now.
No.
Yeah.
She came for a reason. Huh?
Yeah.
And she is the most.
She's amazing.
She's the most beautiful.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Oh my goodness. She's the most beautiful. But her nature, she's smart. She's intelligent. Yeah. She's funny. She loves to be on the go. She doesn't stop, does she? She's just one in a million.
Yeah.
And I really think she embodies all the greatness that you and Ali were, you know?
Yeah.
And I definitely do think that. I mean, I hate to say like, oh, I think the universe put her in your life to get you through, because no one wishes that that was planned. You know what I mean? But she definitely came for a reason. So, because I remember when you text me, I was like, I'm going to book a flight. Like, I need to come to Dubai. I was like, how do I help you? Like, you might not remember this, but I was like, yeah, I need to book a flight to get out to Dubai. And you text me and you're like, my mom's on her way. So like, don't worry, but talk us through that, because I know you very quickly kind of like, packed up everything and came home, didn't
you? Yeah. So, I guess my mum came out. She got the first flight out to Dubai. So it was just because we'd got all of our stuff there.
You built a home there.
Yeah. So we had to I just knew it happened just before Christmas, 6th of December, 2020. So I knew I needed to get home for Christmas. That was just something that I had in my head. Like, I need to get out of here. I didn't want to be in Dubai. It was traumatizing.
Of course. Yes.
Nobody was there, none of my family. I couldn't stand the sight of it.
Because have you been back? No,
I've not been back, but I will go back. Dubai was something that was really close to Ali's heart. He'd always wanted to move there. I didn't, but he did. And he was really proud of that place and he loved it. That was where his heart belonged. So I will go back with Soli. I'd love to take her there.
Oh.
Because, you know, that was something that Ali was proud of.
And also, he was half Arab, right?
Yeah.
So his life was Arabic. Yeah. So it's part of Soli's roots.
Yeah. It would be nice to go back there and make it a nice memory rather than the memory of like where he passed away.
That's really strong mindset.
Yeah. Yeah, so
shows
that
you've really partly healed, you know.
Yeah,
to have that mindset. Do you ever heal from it? I don't think so. But
no, I was speaking to my friend about this. I don't think you ever really heal as such, because it's just a part of you now. But the way to explain it is that the pain still feels for me as painful as it did on day one.
Yeah,
that pain doesn't lessen. It doesn't feel any different. Like, I could go through something tomorrow or get some bad news and I'd feel that pain again. You know, you keep going back to the pain, but you learn to live with it. So it doesn't become as intense as it did at the start. So it doesn't consume you.
Okay.
So now I don't think about that 24/7. Whereas the first 2 years, it consumed my thoughts. You know, it'd just be in my thoughts all the time. And
I remember... I remember when you came back to the UK.
Yeah.
And you quite soon came over. We saw you. I'll never forget that, you know. You were like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like you were sat there, but you weren't there.
No. Yeah, I was like, dissociated.
Yeah, Soli was so small. She was literally newborn still. She was tiny.
Yeah.
And I was sat there talking to you and it's like, you were sat there.
Yeah.
But I was looking in your eyes and you weren't there.
No, because you can't. I just couldn't have normal conversations.
But you tried.
I tried, but you can't speak about things. You can't have normal conversations. You can't speak about what you're having for lunch or nothing, because your head is just constantly thinking about the death and what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
So like what I said, my world stopped, because I'm still stopping that point of the accident.
Yeah.
But the world's still carrying on. People are still saying, oh, come on, what are we doing? Do you want to go for this place? Do you want to go for dinner? Should we do it? Because people are trying to help. So people think, let's distract you. And you want to try and do it, but you just physically can't. So it does appear like you are dissociated. And
I would expect that.
I'd say that's probably one of the symptoms, like the mental health side of it that I've had, is disassociation completely.
And you've been in therapy, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so I had...
What does therapy look like when it comes to grief? Because I know, like, people get therapy for so many different things.
Yeah.
I don't think I've really ever spoke to someone about what, like, grief therapy looks like. Yeah, what does that look like?
So initially, I had a therapist, and that was just more just talking about things and, you know, how we're going to navigate through it, how we're going to get through one step at a time. That didn't help me. Some people it might help, but therapy and talking didn't help me because I'd got so many support people, like support system. I got a strong support system, friends, family. So I felt like I could talk to people.
Okay.
And also I had strangers reaching out to me on the internet.
Yeah.
So I felt like I had people to talk to. So therapy wasn't, as in therapy, counselling or speaking, that kind mm-hmm. of therapy, that mm-hmm. didn't help me specifically okay. because I felt like I already had that.
Yeah, in the people around you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I felt like I was getting more benefit from people that had been through it. So other widows were reaching out to me or people that had lost their partners with young children or pregnant. God. And I felt like they were amazing because they actually got my pain, whereas a therapist talking to me didn't get it. So it wasn't, I felt like, well, you're not in my shoes, you don't know. Like, it's easy for you to say, right, try and get up and do this and do that. But if you haven't been in this place, like, I felt, that's how I felt. Like, it was just, I just struggled with therapy. But then I got approached by a lady that had worked with war soldiers. And she said to me, do you think you might be suffering with PTSD? And I said, yeah. She says, what are you going through? I said, flashbacks, nightmares, waking up screaming, anxious about other people passing away. And she was like, yeah, these are signs of PTSD. Like, I think you need EMDR therapy. And that was brilliant for me.
Can you tell us a little bit, like, what that
yeah,
is?
Yeah, so EMDR therapy, I don't know what it stands for. It's eye movement desensitization, something
okay.
like that.
Okay.
But so basically it's all about visualization, and I'm really into that. I've always done meditation, solely meditates. Like, I'm into visualization and just, it's not spiritual. It's just kind of like you picture things in your head and... Mm-hmm. So I had to do a lot of that, and she said it's going to be very draining, very difficult. On the days that you have therapy, you can't drive, you can't go to work. That's how intense it is.
Wow.
So it's like, it's very, you know, it's really tapping into something very traumatic okay. and the specifics of the accident. So I'd have to really go through in detail the accident, the day, the smells, the touches, the people around me, everything basically in great detail of the accident. And then at that point you kind of go through like soothing techniques, tapping, and it kind of files the memory into a storing cabinet, like in your brain.
Wow.
Yeah. So instead of always having these flashbacks,
they're stored.
Yeah, they're stored. So you, okay. if you choose to go and like now we're talking about it, so I'm choosing to now think go about that.
Yeah.
But it's not just going to pop out to me when I'm having a conversation with a friend, for example.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you found that a lot more effective than just like general counselling.
Yeah, for me, yeah.
Because, oh, it makes sense though.
Yeah, I think that's what I needed, something a bit more...
intense.
Yeah.
In that way.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you telling me about that, actually. Yeah. So interesting.
Yeah.
Do you still do that now, or is that...
No, I feel like there was a... She said to me, make sure you write things down that you want to remember because you might start to forget things.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like I said, that whole period now is a blur.
Wow.
And then you kind of go through checkpoints, and yeah, we reached to a point where we felt like the therapy was ready to end. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I still do have therapy. I went back to it 6 months later. I reached out to her again, and I was like, can we go back to it? I think it would benefit from some more sessions. So we have done that.
I love that that was successful and you were able to find something that works for you, because I think...
Yeah.
It helped you so much.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the reasons why we wanted to have this conversation is because, unfortunately, Ali and Charlotte, yourself,
yeah,
didn't have any insurance or cover to protect you.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, tell us how it felt knowing that you've lost your partner and you've got mm-hmm. nothing.
Yeah.
And you've got a baby to raise.
Yeah, so I think that was the difficult part. I was on maternity when it happened, so I then came back to the UK, and at that point I knew that we had a joint policy, a life insurance policy that we took out. Ali was like, come on, we need to take out life insurance, we need to think about it. I've actually done a TikTok video on the conversation that we had about getting life insurance. So at that point, after that conversation, we took out a joint policy in life insurance. So I got home and I was like, said to my mum, we've got a joint policy, so I'm going to claim on the life insurance. Called the provider and he said, Charlotte, I've got some bad news. That policy was cancelled like 3 months ago. And I just was like, what? So yeah, I wasn't aware, but that policy was cancelled, the joint policy that we had.
Why?
Financial reasons. It would have been financial reasons.
So he'd cancelled it?
Yeah. Yeah. So that policy was cancelled. So yeah, we didn't have life insurance. So the financial help since his passing has been zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that, like, when you actually deep it, is has a huge impact because not only are you now navigating grief,
yeah,
heartbreak, like I don't even know the words to describe the feelings you went through. I don't think anyone could ever describe it other than someone that's actually been through it. But you've also got now, like, you got to work because you've got a baby to support, and you had to find a house to so many things. Yeah. And I think one thing now that Charlotte really advocates for, and you work with a life insurance company, is it? Yeah. Or insurance company?
Yeah.
Charlotte really advocates for having life insurance in place. And not only that, but things like critical illness, income protection, they are so important, especially, I think they're important on their own, but I think they're even more important when you have children.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Because you're doing it to protect them.
Yeah.
But tell us now a little bit about like the work you do. I know the reason why you're so passionate about it and it's so important to you, but yeah, just tell us a little bit more about what you do in that sense.
So, yeah, I think obviously it's also made me learn about making decisions on your own as well. So obviously the lesson to learn from that policy being cancelled was that you need to be aware of everything financially in the household. Like, because I was because I'd had the baby, Ali was like, you take care of the baby and I take care of you too. That's kind of like what his mindset and approach to life was. He was like, I would take care of you guys, you take care solely. And when you've had a baby and you stress and going through the postnatal, you just kind of just want to just look after the baby. You don't want to think about the other bills and the worries. And so that's what I did. Like, you know, I was just doing that and I didn't really overlook the bills side of it and the policies. And really I should have been making sure that, you know, have we got this in place myself? But I was moving house, you know, going abroad. You just don't. And like you say, when you're young, you don't really think about life insurance and the policies and all of that side of it. So yeah, I guess when I came back to the UK, I had to go back to work. So I was like, what should have been my maternity? What should have been spent looking recovering. After the baby, recovering.
From the baby. I'm not saying from the accident. I'm exactly. saying from the baby.
I had to go straight back to work and I'm like still grieving. So I came back in January and in March I was back to work. And I still had a baby to look after. And I was still navigating my grief. So, I went back to work and I hated it.
Yeah, you did.
To be honest, I absolutely hated it because it's just like I couldn't focus on anything and then had to run workshops and intense work and it was just too much. I was burning myself out. Even though it was a little distraction, I thought maybe it could help, but it didn't.
No.
If I'd have had life insurance, I wouldn't have had to worry about going back to work so soon.
No.
Because I think, yeah, it's important to go back to work eventually, but when you're ready and when you've processed what's happened, you're still in shell shock. Like, you can't physically think about doing all these different things. You literally just need to breathe and think about what you want to do and not make big decisions like that. So if I'd have had life insurance in place, I wouldn't have returned back to work so soon. I wouldn't have felt the pressure to.
No.
Because I'd have had known that, you know, bills were being taken care of.
Bit of a deep question. Do you feel like angry that he cancelled that without you knowing? Like when you...
Yeah,
I can imagine that's...
Yeah, angry because it's just like...
It's important. But do you think he cancelled it because you were moving? I know you said for financial reasons, but also like, I don't know all the details, but like if you move country, do you still have to pay the insurance back home?
Maybe he just cancelled all the direct debit.
New insurance in Dubai. Like, I don't know how it works. I don't know the ins and outs of it.
Yeah, but potentially.
I think that message in itself is something completely different. Like, make sure you and your partner are financially aware of exactly what's going on. Like,
and you know the decisions. Like, don't just leave it to your partner. That's one thing that I will say. And now, because I think I have to make every decision now, even just little things like Soli found out of school this day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, I had to make that decision.
How did that go, by the way?
Everything's on me. Yeah, she got the, choice. Yeah. She got the choice that we wanted.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's really good. Yeah. So the life insurance, tell us about that, the work you're doing, because I know you post it on your Instagram. And
yeah, so I work with a company called Mumsurance.
Called what?
Mumsurance.
As in like mom insurance?
Yeah, so Mumsurance, they've got dad's insurance as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they're, is it they're for just widows? Brilliant. No, it's for everyone.
Oh, okay.
It's for everyone, and like even if you're not a mum or a dad, you know, it's for everyone. But they typically focus around families and making sure that you are protected.
Okay.
I worked with them a couple of times. They kind of filmed my story and loved them. So I said, yeah, let's work together because they're amazing and they really have understood my story. Mm-hmm. And they've just been really supportive with me. So, yeah, it's great. And I think they understand the importance as well. Like, it's the educational side, even just like wills. There's so much I've learned now.
So much.
There's so much, like, even life insurance, even if you put on your beneficiary who you want the life insurance policy to go to, you still need to have a will in place because the will overrides it. So Ali being 28 when he passed away, he didn't have a will in place. Most people at 28 don't have a will. Because you think of will, people think of wills as like something for elderly, you know, like you don't think about putting a will in place when you're in your
20s. I'm not going to lie, I need to do a will.
Yeah.
I've not done one.
So wills override everything. So
have you got a will, Carl?
No.
No.
Have you got a will?
I've got a will now.
Right, we need to do it. We need to do a will.
Wills are so important.
So important. Do you know what upset me though? And like it really did hit home is that like someone wrote to me and she was like, I've got two kids. I'm a single mom. I live paycheck to paycheck. I'm in my overdraft. Like I physically can't afford it because some of the policies, they're not cheap, you know.
Yeah,
they're not
but
cheap.
They are with mum insurance, they are. You can get
plug.
It depends on your but it depends on your age because if the older you are, then the more expensive you get. But the younger you are, the cheaper it is. It makes sense.
And I also remember when I did mine, like, because I think I was a bit shook. Like, I did go for more, like, premium ones, like, with all this crazy cover. But there are some really good ones that are...
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did find that difficult because I was like, I hear you. Like, first of all, there's cost of living in crisis. Like, living is so extortionate. Like, people
but
are
then,
really struggling.
So what they said to me is, okay, so do you buy a take or do you insure your car?
Yeah.
Or do you insure your home?
Yeah.
So you,
which you do.
You get all
of course,
these
yeah.
insurances, yeah. but you don't insure your life.
I know.
Your life, like, which is more important than anything. So, like, think about all the insurances you have got, home, car, whatever else.
Yeah.
And then, like,
it's so true.
Why not your life?
So
like,
true.
That's the most important one. But back to the wills thing, even more important for me to have a will, not just for like assets and money, but for guardianship.
Because it's.
So, solely, who would she go to?
Yeah.
Because if you don't have a will, it goes to the foster system if you've got no parents.
Wow.
So, even more important to have a will.
So, yeah. So,
when, especially situations like mine where solely's only got one parent.
Yeah.
So, she would go to the foster system. So, I need to make sure that. Guardianship is but then you have to think about it, like you have to be real, like these situations happen
bit.
Because look at me.
Yes,
you don't you can't be immune to these situations. It could happen to anyone.
And do you know what also, like when I deep it, like really really deep it, like it scares me even to like expand my family because I'm like god, that's
putting
more
risk.
People to be responsible. Like it's scary, like life when I deep it is mad.
So scary.
Like it's so scary.
Yeah.
So a lot of people wrote to me and they were just saying all the same thing with regards to people who have been through similar things to you. Mm-hmm. Like you just don't think it's going to happen to you, so you just don't do it.
No.
But then when it does happen, and especially not so much with death, but with like the critical illness, like
injuries,
a lot of injuries, like, and then you go to do it and like, your premiums and like how much it costs then because you've already experienced the accident or whatever.
Yeah.
It's too late. So many people were like, no matter how old you are, no matter whether you think, because people think they're invincible, like, oh, it's not going to happen to me. Like, please, after, if you watch this podcast, go on the frigging internet and cover yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the stories that people have written in, like, it scares me. It really scares me, especially like with the cancers and the injuries and the tumours that are more likely to happen than a freak accident. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. They're actually really common.
Mm-hmm.
So please get comments.
Someone wrote into me as well and says, please talk about putting it in trust as well, because I think trust, so any money that you get for kids, you put it into trust till they're 18,
mm-hmm.
but then that makes it non-taxable as well.
Wait, so...
Because I think you get taxed. So yeah. Somebody said to me, make sure you wear, raise awareness on that. So putting it in trust for the kids for when they're 18.
So is that if you personally have suffered illness?
Yeah, so, yeah, and then if you get a payout that goes to your kids, so life insurance or things like that.
So when you get the payout,
yeah,
put it in trust for your kids. Yeah, I do think that's, you don't get taxed on
you
that.
You don't get taxed.
It's like protected.
Mm-hmm. But I'd say like 80% of the widows that I speak to didn't have, say higher, didn't have life insurance. And they all struggle financially. And it's like, it's not just the grief that's hard, it's the secondary losses. So it's like financial, 100%. Emotional support, finding a home, your future, dealing with your daughter's grief. Because like that video that I had on TikTok, you know, those moments catch me off guard. So I'm dealing with my own grief, which consumes me. But then when I see Soli I go into her room and she's holding a picture of me, her and daddy, and she's cuddling it saying, I wish I had a daddy. I wish he was here.
Talk to us a little bit more about Soli's grief and what you feel she's gone through as she's grown up. Because she's, is she four?
She's four this year. So four she's this four year, in July. Yeah. So she was 4 months when she passed away.
When he passed away.
When he passed away, sorry.
God. I was like, Soli didn't go anywhere.
No, 4 months when he passed away. So she wouldn't really have remembered much, although she knew who her daddy was, like 100%. And don't know. She's I've always just been honest with her. So I spoke to a charity, because obviously with her starting school as well, like I wanted to know the right way of her dealing with it, because that really worries me, like what people are going to say and the language that she uses, because she is quite emotionally intelligent.
She's so smart.
Yeah.
She's always been so intelligent.
So I've always told her from the get-go, from the minute she could speak and understand, I've always told her that daddy's died, he's in heaven, he loves you so much, he loves us so much.
Yeah.
So that she knows that he loves both of us.
Uh-huh.
That we were a family, but daddy's died, he's in heaven. And
do you tell her how he went?
I've said that he was in a really bad accident.
Okay.
So she knows everything, because his charity said you just got to be honest, because no point
hiding. No. She's going to...
No.
It's going
to...
Yeah.
Yeah. And they said that's the worst thing you can do, is to like pretend.
Sugarcoat it.
Yeah. You've got to just tell her facts.
Okay.
So yeah, daddy's died. He's not coming back. He will never be coming back. So she knows that now. So she's very direct. So she comes out with it. And the preschool said to me, Charlotte, she said this at dinner. Like, what do we say?
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah. So I do worry about her at school, like, because if she just comes out with that, and then like, how will the other children react? How will their parents react to that? Like, would they like that kind of language? Because she says it very direct. My daddy's died, you know. And that triggers me, because I'm like, she's saying that word.
Yeah.
You know, it's unexpected. And when I saw that, when she was hugging the picture, when I came into her room the other day, it's like, oh my, it sends a lump in your throat.
Oh.
Because you're like, why is it so unfair? Like, my daughter's having to go through this. Mm-hmm. Like, I can just about navigate that it's happened to me, but then it's happened to her as well. And she's going to be dealing with it.
Mm. Basically, I had goosebumps this whole time I've been sat with you. Like, I just can't, just don't think you could, I can't fathom it.
Mm.
But I think one thing that kind of gets me through it as your friend in a real way, I don't know why I'm thinking about myself, but when I sit, basically I'm trying to say that I think you and Soli are so lucky to have each other in that sense. Do you know what I mean? Because I think it is a little bit of a team thing of getting through it. And the fact that she's at the age now where she's always been so intelligent and so forward for her age.
Yeah, bless her.
But like, you're able to navigate it together. Does that make sense? And as you said before in the podcast, like, that's what got you through it.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, man, it breaks my heart. Absolutely breaks my heart. But I think it's lovely that like around your house and stuff, like, he's still present.
Yeah.
And you say you see signs.
Yeah, he does. I didn't really believe in that at first, but I do now. Like, if I ever, I think it's just more that like, I'll just speak to him. I'll just, if I need to make a decision, I'll be like, Ali, what do you think? And then I have to just picture what he'd say, like, and then just because I know his banter or whatever. So yeah. Like, picture what him talking about. It sounds a bit crazy, but.
No, I don't. I think that's how, like,
yeah,
you get through because yeah. They're still with you. They're still present. Yeah. Like, I remember, for example, totally different scenario, but like when my nan passed, like we were all so close to her. And like, obviously my mom and my nan were like inseparable. My mom said that she used to just like, she's still there.
Out loud.
Yeah, she's still there.
Yeah. I remember your mom telling
that's
me
just
that,
a way you, so I guess it may be like a comfort thing.
Yeah.
And I think, so first of all, like, let's talk about it. Tell us about the TikTok journey and the widow community you've created because Charlotte started posting about her grief on TikTok, which quite quickly blew up.
Yeah.
And the amount of people that kind of watch your story and now engage with you, like, it's phenomenal. And I love that you're able to touch other people through your journey. Mm-hmm. And you have created a widow community.
Yeah.
And you've met a lot of widows that are now friends, and some of them are really close to you.
Yeah,
so tell us about that and how that helps you in life now.
It does, really. Yeah, I think I was posting on my Instagram. I feel like Instagram for me is a bit more intimate. Like, it's more like my close friends. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want people to feel sorry for me. I didn't want people to be like, oh. And then also it's kind of like when people stop checking on you, because that does happen after a certain amount of time. People, you know, they think, oh, well, she's going out now. She's fine. And you don't want that pressure. So I started just moving everything to TikTok. I thought, create a new community. People won't know. I can just post on there what I want to post. So it just started off like that. And it was more just like my journey. And I was still able to just be me and be free and just post what I want without any judgment of like people that I actually knew in real life. And then my videos just started going viral. And so, yeah, I just carried on posting on that. And then a lot of people have reached out. And then, yeah, some of my best friends now are like widows, and we just speak with each other every day, and we're on our own little journey. And some people are like 3 years out like me, and we can all talk about things that we're doing now and how we're getting through. And that has, having people that have gone through what you've been through,
must be life-changing.
It's life-changing. Yeah. Like, I've got a girl that lost a partner abroad as well. Like,
as in, so, when they were on holiday?
Or? Yeah, like two of my friends lost their partner, one in Dubai and one in Australia. So it's like that in itself, it's so relatable for me because they understand the complexities.
Also due to freak accidents or?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
so
man.
They understand the complexities of like it happening whilst you're abroad.
Yeah.
It's crazy, really. Like,
it is.
You meet these people through the online community. And also people reach out to me and they want to know things about grief and how you navigate it. And it's crazy because I'm 3 years in, and when I was in my first year, I was having all of these thoughts that people are saying to me.
Yeah.
They say, like, I genuinely don't know how I'm going to get through it. Like, I can't see that I'm going to make it out another year or 2 years. Like, how are you 3 years in and you're still here and you're still posting? Like, your videos give me hope. Because it's like, you're still here.
And you're an example that, like, you can do it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's so...
I just hope that people, when they see, if they are in their early stages of grief, it's so different to when, like, they say, like, time heals, which I don't really believe it heals, but it does get easier.
Yeah.
So it's like, you've just got to, what I say is just keep going, focus on one step at a time, the next day, survival mode, just keep doing what you've got to do to get through those first steps and first stages. And it does eventually ease. The pain doesn't get easier, but you adjust around the pain.
Yeah.
So your life, you start slowly getting, you adjust to your new life.
Yeah. What a lovely way to put it.
Yeah.
Love that. And the place that you're in now.
Yeah.
Just, you know, talking about you as Charlotte, not you as a mom.
No.
Not you as a widow.
Yeah.
Not you as anybody else other than the soul you are.
Mm.
Charlotte.
Yeah.
What headspace are you in now? Like, talk to me, like, about your mind and... Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're trying to say. I think I'm still trying to figure things out. And I'm still trying to figure who I am. But I guess I've learned now to be on my own. Make decisions on my own. And I've always been quite an independent person. But I think it's completely different now when you've got kind of you've just got yourself. And like I say, the big decisions that I have to make with Soli's school and, yeah, so I think I'm still figuring it out, who I am. And I've learned a lot, like, mindset and trying to get through things. And when, I think the hardest thing is when something bad happens, like, bad things happen to people every day, but, like, the minor things that happen day in, day out, it's really easy to kind of be so angry at those things. Because I already think, I've already been through enough. I can't keep going through more stuff.
Yeah.
So you've got to kind of learn to just let go. But I think I don't have patience now for things, you know, like...
Oh, my God. By the way, totally understandable.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't expect you to have patience.
So, like...
Like, you're not going to tolerate...
I don't tolerate nothing now. No. Like,
I don't blame you.
Yeah, and I just think if people come... I think people don't always see that. They just see you as any other person. They don't see... Because everybody's gone through their own thing.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's only thinking about themselves when you're day in, day out. And I just think in my head, I know what I've been through. So I don't have the capacity for anything else to happen.
No. Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, I am quite, sometimes I'm quite angry at the world or think things are unfair. And
totally understandable.
Yeah.
Because before Ali passed, like you lost your sister. Remind me, was it due to cancer?
Suicide.
Oh.
Yeah, suicide. That was it, yeah. So that was 10 years ago. So we scattered her ashes. Scattered her ashes the other week, last month. 10 years. So that was, yeah.
I don't know how one person can go through so much. Like, losing your partner to a freak accident, losing your sister to suicide. Like, you don't know how, like, you don't know how strong you are. But I know sometimes your thought is like, don't want to be strong.
No, I don't.
I don't want to have to go through this. So no. I don't know if me saying that to you or anybody saying that to you can actually be a bit triggering. Like, no, yes, thank you for telling me that I'm strong, but like,
I don't
want to
be strong.
I don't want to be strong.
Yeah.
And I totally hear that. But hey,
but you think also, like, when you lose, because I think it's different when you lose people young.
Okay.
So when you lose people, I think it's hard. It's, any death is difficult.
Of course.
And every death is tragic. But when you lose people young, you almost grieve the future.
Of course. And so what that, like, looked like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, I grieve my sister not meeting Soli and, you know, her being there and the relationship, because I know the relationship that I had with her children. So that upsets me that she doesn't have that relationship back. So I grieve that. And then obviously with Ali, I grieve our whole plans
that we made. Yeah.
You know, the futures, us getting married, us having... That's another one, multiple children. Because for him, he wanted to have lots of children close together. So that would have been like, I always think, oh God, how many children would I have had now if he was here? Because he wanted to have all the children close together. So it's like, yeah, I grieve that, not knowing.
Mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's those secondary losses that you grieve.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm in a better headspace now. It doesn't consume me anymore. Those thoughts, you know, I've been through the therapy and I can manage my thoughts a lot better now. So it's not something that consumes me day in, day out, where I'm like thinking about that accident. So I've been able to have a little bit of space there.
Breathing space.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's really, it's like really interesting. Like, what do you want to hear from, like what do you want to hear from someone like me, for example, like a close friend? Like when I say, like, you know, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
Like, what makes you feel fulfilled from a friend with regards to, like, how I support you in this period of your life?
Okay.
Do you get me?
Yeah, I think...
Like, what can I do?
Just, like, I think... So, a lot of friends probably don't want to speak about it because they think...
Of course.
They think, treading, oh, like, you know, let's not bring it up. And so...
Like, I think it, you do like to talk about...
Yeah, I love
talk
talking
about
Ali, yeah.
Yeah.
I love, like, when people say, you know, like, well, just ask me any questions, like... what did he like doing or anything? Just, you know, I like it when people still include him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I can
nice.
Understand that.
Yeah, and even when they do it with Soli, like, you know, and talk about it Soli.
I've
like,
never done that with her.
No, because I think people would be so scared. Like,
yeah.
And that's understandable. And maybe not everybody would like that, but I think it's nice. And most of the people that I've spoken to in the grieving community, like, wish that people would speak about their loved ones more after they've passed.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really good advice.
Include them in everyday conversations?
Well, I've never done that with Soli ever. And I think because...
You'd be scared?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be scared to do it to someone else's child as well, because I'd be thinking, oh, you don't know if their mum would be comfortable with that or...
That's something your mum is really good at. Like, I always see, like, on Facebook, bless her, she always posts, like, Ali's birthday, and you always do nice things around that time of year. That's such a good takeaway, though. Like,
just be inclusive of it. Because chances are the grieving person's on that mind all the time.
Mm.
So they probably want to talk about it.
Love that.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I think, a great place to close on, unless you have anything else you want to add.
Don't think so.
It's so, like, I feel like I've spoken to you in so many different stages of this journey, and speaking to you now, like, I really see such a difference, like, I will be honest, and like, oh, I hate to say, like, I am so proud of you, like, I don't even know what that feels to receive, like, do you know what I mean? But like, I am, because I think it takes a very strong kind of person to get through what you've been through, and I think it's credit to who you are and how you've raised Soli, like, blows my mind. Like, she's incredible, and you did all of that whilst losing your partner on your own. Like, you're incredible. So thank you for sharing your story. I know you've always been really open about it, especially through TikTok, but if anyone does have any kind of, like, messages or want to connect with Charlotte, like, we'll put all of Charlotte's socials, and there's lots of space to connect here. We're a very open, open individuals. Anything else you want to say before we close?
No, I don't think so.
Basically, what you need to do is go and get insurance. Yeah. When you finish this podcast, go and get insurance. And if you have any questions about it, or you like what Charlotte spoke about with the company she works with, then please obviously connect with Charlotte. I think you've got a few, like, links, haven't you?
They're all in my bios.
Share. So thank you so much. You're incredible. I adore you. If you've made it to the end, thanks so much for watching. Please like, share, comment, subscribe, whatever you can do to support the cause. Go and get life insurance, critical health insurance, and income protection, and go and do your will. And we'll see you soon for another episode. Ciao.
Oh.